Hello and welcome to the Checkpoint Reach podcast. I'm your host Luke Elder. Today I'm joined by Sud as always, but we're also joined by a special guest, and it's Alex from the Angry Joe Show. How you doing, Alex?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Yeah, we're good.
Very good.
Yeah, appreciate you coming on, and yeah, we thought it'd be fun to obviously get a special guest on to discuss this week's news. And to be honest, one of the news topics I'm sure you've covered plenty on Angry Joe Show, which is about CD Projekt Red and the it says it all, really. Basically, what we're going to start off with today in the first topic is CD Projekt Red and their offers of apology and refunds for Cyberpunk 2077. The developer asked PS4 and Xbox One gamers to give us a chance to fix the problems. They released a fairly lengthy post on their social media, but here's a bit of their apology. So they said, first of all, we would like to start by apologizing for not showing the game on the last gen. Base last gen consoles before it premiered, and in consequence not allowing you to make a more informed decision about your purchase. We should have paid more attention to making it play better on the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. Now, obviously, we've all seen the bugs, I'm assuming, and it's just an absolute mess. I don't know about you, Alex. Have you played much of it? Have you been playing on like the base last-gen consoles at all?
Yeah, actually. So in addition to doing on PC, I've got about 40 hours into the base PlayStation 4.
Wow, okay.
Oh, wow, okay.
How is that?
Before 1.04, it was hilariously bad. I mean, like you're talking about, you can follow the bullets because they're moving so slow and it's stuttering, and the popping was horrible, and all of the bugs were there just as the internet showed them. Now, immediately after 1.04, honestly, it runs really well. It looks terrible, like, and I will not, you know, they should feel bad for the way that it looks on PlayStation 4, but I'm not getting stuttering. I'm getting pop in, I'm getting some visual glitches, but there are no like real, none of the real nasty bugs that a lot of people were seeing before the patch. So it's much better, but it's still unacceptable for a game to come out in that state.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen some of the stuff and it's absolutely awful. Were you experiencing any of like the 15 FPS and stuff like that? I've seen some as low as that.
Oh yeah, I mean, you like I said, you could, when you were firing, you could practically follow the bullets. The FPS was so slow, like it would slow down to the point where it would just crash, and it was pretty horrible in the first couple of days.
Yeah, I can imagine. So you're yet to play it, but you've obviously. Yeah, but you've obviously seen the bugs.
Yeah. I mean, it's not good, is it? Some of them are pretty funny. But I was going to ask Alex, actually, how much has it, would you say it's affected your enjoyment of the game, or has it at all?
No, I mean, you know, I mean, I'm spoiled, right? Because I get to play it on a pretty powerful, you know, PC.
Yeah.
So I can see what all the visuals look like. But I mean, ultimately, a game like Cyberpunk for me is more like an immersive narrative RPG, and like that, those type of RPGs, I like graphics to look good, but it's not one of the prerequisites, right? So right. I love the story of the game. I think that some of the writing in the game is truly incredible. And so if you're like me and you want to kind of feel immersed into the world and get to know the characters and play through the story, I think you can do that on the last gen consoles. I just probably wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah, that's actually something I've been saying to a few of my friends who have been asking about if they should get it. I've got the Series S that I've been playing it on, and it's probably one of the more buggiest experiences I've had in a long time, but it hasn't been anywhere near as bad as the things I've been seeing online, essentially. So it hasn't really ruined my enjoyment, because I completed it the other night. You know, putting about 40 to 50 hours into the game, so I got a lot of enjoyment out of it. I agree with you, Alex, I really enjoy the story, and the writing in the game is brilliant at parts. So I would still say to others who have the last gen console, just wait. It's worth waiting. I don't think you need to go out and rush to buy it. You're going to be playing it on PS5, aren't you, Sud?
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm going to be getting a PS4 copy, playing it on the PS5, so I'm hoping that some of those bugs may not be, you know, as bad as if I was.
It's much better now. I think you'll be in a much better state than in the first few days. I mean, you have to understand that this type of game, when there's so much hype, you've got the people that are hyped for it, and you have the people that want the game to fail. Right? Anytime someone's happy, you want someone to make them unhappy. Mm-hmm. And so there are people who are playing it that, you know, are trying to show, it's like, this is what the game is like in every single frame. It's like, no, not necessarily. There are times where the pop-in is worse than others. There are times when bugs happen, but, you know, especially after the first couple patches, they're fewer than there were before. So people thinking that this is what it plays like all the time on the PlayStation 4, that has not been my experience, and has been the experience of people that I know who have been playing on PlayStation 4. So I think that it's better than people are saying it is on Reddit, on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. I assume as well, obviously, the game is obviously going to be in a better state than it was, you know, pre-launch. I know obviously a lot of the reviewers were, you know, pretty down on the game.
It was bad. We had a streamer copy, and it was pretty bad. You know, it was bad to the point where, you know, ultimately I think some of the reviews were, it was irresponsible to review the game before the game came out, because the game was presented to the streamers, it was presented to the reviewers, it's like, look, this is without the day one patch. And so a lot of what the reviewers were doing was they were reviewing it as if it was the day one patch. I think, in my opinion, and what we do at the Angry Joe Show, is you should review a game as it comes out. And reviewing, you know, a beta version or an early access version, it can almost be inappropriate. Mm-hmm. So I think that there were some of the reviewers in particular that were far too harsh. And some of their criticisms of the game and specific bugs, like game-breaking bugs, were taken care of on the first day. But on the other hand, they were right about a lot of the other ones, because, you know, it still is a bit of a mess.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I can only speak for myself and the experience I've had. I've not had any game-breaking bugs, thankfully. And the only few things I've had is just, like, you know, mobile phones glitching into people's heads essentially in a cutscene or whatever, and it's just like, it takes you out a little bit. But I mean, comparing to some others, that's, you know, the least of my concerns. You know, when it comes to Cyberpunk, do you think that maybe they should have delayed it again, or do you think they were probably right to bring it out because of the backlash of the face for delaying, you know, once again? Because I think it would have been like the third or fourth time.
You know, they were in a position where you had to develop a game. They were developing games for high-end gaming PCs, right? They wanted to be the opposite of what we had seen in video games recently, where they're designed for consoles and we get bad PC ports. This is a PC game with a console port. In addition to having to do a console port for the new next-gen consoles, they had to do it to the previous ones too. And that is almost an impossible task. You cannot optimize a game for a high-end gaming PC and expect it to run on a PS4. So I don't think that, you know, you could have delayed it maybe another 3-4 months, and maybe that would have helped them out a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I think that I'm of the opinion that they probably should have, because, I mean, even now in their investor call, they were talking about, like, the reputational damage that they've taken. You know, we talk about, you know, there's all these famous quotes in the video game industry. Todd Howard's famous asshole quote of, you know, it's not how you start, it's where you end up, which I hate. And then there's also the one that I like the most is just like a, you know, a delayed game or an unfinished game is forever bad, but a, you know, delayed game is eventually good. And I'm of the opinion that they should have waited until it was done. But, you know, honestly, CD Projekt Red's a business. They've got shareholders. You're talking about holiday sales, contracts with Xbox, contracts with PlayStation. You know, they probably didn't have much of a choice. And so it's, you know, it almost doesn't matter what we feel. It's like there's probably contracts that they're forcing them to release the game when they did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think as well, it's always one of them trade-offs as well. You've got to think, well, where do their interests align? I mean, they're obviously, you know, you know, you've got to think, well, if they had delayed the game to, say, I don't know, February or March, how much of a financial hit would they have took for that, you know? And would the fan backlash of delaying it again have been worth it, I guess, compared to the fan backlash of a buggy game?
I mean, they made their money back in one day. And yeah, so I think it's very, very difficult to imagine a world where even if it was delayed for a couple months, that they would not have done it within, let's say, a week, even if it's not day one. Yeah. Let's say that they do it in a week. So, you know, I don't think that, you know, they were ever going to be in a, you know, state of financial hardship.
No.
If they had delayed it. I just think it, I think I personally think it has more to do with, you know, holiday sales and perhaps, you know, they do have deals with Xbox and PlayStation where the games have to come out in a certain period of time. I think that has a lot to do with it.
Yeah. Once you sign a contract, you're wiggle room is going to be tough to find, isn't it? I think with, Cyberpunk, like you were saying, what they sold it in, well, 8 million pre-order sales as well, and 74% of which were downloads. So, yeah, they've done pretty well. It's a game that spent apparently half its budget on marketing, which it's a very small sample size, but my girlfriend, who is not into gaming at all, when I asked her, I mentioned I got a new game, I just said Cyberpunk, and she was like, oh, Cyberpunk 2077, the one with Keanu Reeves. And I was just like... Yeah. Okay, they must be marketing a lot if you're picking up on that, even the full title.
And I think that's what ultimately one of the biggest problems are, is they, you know, they, this was a game that was oversold and it's severely underdelivered. You had people at the marketing agency doing the Night City Wire series, and some of the stuff on there is, you know, it was a great series. I loved watching it, but a lot of that stuff was just misrepresenting how the game came out, especially for people on consoles. Mm-hmm. And so they marketed it in a way that, you know, they built their own hype engine. And so in addition to the fans of CD Projekt Red kind of going out of control with their hype, their marketing department did the same thing. And it just makes the perception of the release even worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this game was announced, was it 2012?
8 years ago, yeah.
Yeah,
long time ago. It was E3, wasn't it? 2012, I think. And it's like, that's such a long time, you know, that's an entire generation ago. So... You know, you've got to think that people's expectations were obviously through the roof, and rightfully so, I think, for a game that was announced so long ago. So, and in themselves, you know, CD Projekt Red kind of boasted about the game anyway, didn't they? The, you know, the way they tweet and stuff, saying how it's going to. So, I think people's expectations were right to be hyped. I think people were right to be hyped. So, in a way, you can't blame people for being very disappointed, especially if, you know, because the majority of people are going to be playing on the PS4 or Xbox One base, aren't they? Mm-hmm. That's where I assume a majority of the sales were, obviously PC as well. But, you know, in terms of console base, there's not going to be that many people that are playing it on a PS5 or a Series X right now, because there's just not that many around.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can understand people being frustrated. You can understand, you know, every time CD Projekt Red tweets something now, you see the comments and it's just an absolute dumpster fire. It's like...
The more you hype a game, the more pressure you put on yourself, don't you?
Yeah.
Comes with the territory, exactly. I guess.
Exactly.
But what do we make then of Sony reportedly refusing refunds after CD Projekt Red obviously made a statement saying that, you know, you can have refunds, whatever. But apparently a lot of the tweets that I've seen on social media, mainly from the articles, that Sony support not giving out refunds, and they're pushing back saying you know wait for the next patch, basically.
Yeah, so we've had a lot of people contact us, because I'm a frugal person, and if so, I buy something that doesn't work, I get my money back, even if it says no refunds. There's always a way. I mean, these companies always put up something that says we offer no refunds, and that's to kind of make sure that the majority of people stay away. Sony even day one was offering people refunds. You just had to wait on hold, get on, you know, and talk to somebody. And they were very, very quick, because the game was non-functional upon release. Mm-hmm. So there are consumer protection laws in almost every, you know, all of the countries that Cyberpunk released in. Australia has the strongest ones. UK has pretty strong ones. The ones in the United States are a little bit weaker, but even here in the US, people were getting refunds because Sony knows that they have to follow those laws. A non-functional game was released, people paid money for it, you have to give them their money back. I understand that there's some people that weren't able to do that, but even CD Projekt Red said, is like, if you can't get your money back and you want your money back, here's the email, contact us and we will help you get that. So Sony's always had issues with refunding people. They have a very kind of a nasty refund policy, but if you really want your money back, you can get it back.
Yeah, keep chipping away. Essentially,
yeah, pretty much set on hold. I mean, it just depends on what your time is worth. Honestly, I think that people who are refunding the game are, I approve of them trying to send a message with their money. That's a good But at the same time, I still think Cyberpunk is a wonderful game that even now is playable on the last gen consoles. But in a couple months, they've promised that they're going to get it to that point. I mean, I would just wait rather than wait on hold for 2 hours with Sony, you know, customer service. Just wait 2 months and play it then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, yeah, just because that's the thing, isn't it? A lot of these people now that are getting refunds, that they're probably maybe going to buy the game back again in maybe 2 or 3 months if they hear of, you know, the game being fixed. So in that sense, it might be like, is it worth it, you know, at this point?
Yeah, unless this turns out to be like a Fallout 76 where, the initial reception is so bad that people just don't go back. Mm. But I don't see that happening.
No.
But yeah. I didn't see Cyberpunk releasing like this. So, you know, I've been wrong before. So who knows now?
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm with you there. But also when it comes to Sony help, God, I wouldn't recommend just waiting on hold. I had to do that with my PS5. PS5 came broke and I think I spent 4 hours over a weekend on hold just trying to get in touch and get replacement. So, yeah, it's a lot of time. And, well, it was worth it in that case, but I'm not sure it'll be worth it for Cyberpunk. I think just stay waiting. I think the patch will sort it out. One last question on the Cyberpunk side of things. What do you think about people's argument that it shouldn't have released on the base old last gen based consoles and they should have just released on the new gen, next gen?
I love that. I think it shouldn't have. You play this on a high end PC and it is beautiful when it's running, when it's working right. It is absolutely beautiful, and you can tell that this isn't a console port it's a console port of a PC game rather than vice versa. And so I think that, you know, everyone at CD Projekt Red is probably running high end PCs. They probably had some, you know, next gen consoles, and you know, there was probably one or two people over there that was trying to make it work on a base PS4 or Xbox One. And if they had just decided to not put it on those consoles, would they have taken a giant hit? Absolutely. But at the same time, it wouldn't have had a lot of the issues. And I think they actually a couple months ago said that the reason for one of their delays, was to make sure that it was ready on the last gen consoles.
Yeah, I read that. Yeah. Yep.
And I guess it wasn't in the end.
Well, I mean, you just have to imagine what state was it in at that point, right? Like, what did the game look like in March? What did it look like in August? And it's just, if this is what we got now, and we've said that a lot this year with all the different, you know, COVID-related delays or lazy developer delays or both, is like, what did these games look like before the delays that they were thinking about releasing it? So...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. And I think I also would have liked to have seen it as a next-gen only game. Just because, you know, when you buy a new console, you want that next-gen experience. However, I guess I'm probably in the sort of selfish minority there, you know. I'm lucky enough to have a PS5. I know a lot of people out there don't, or don't have a Series X, so or don't have a high-end PC for that matter. So, you know, I can understand why it is on, you know, they want it on as many platforms as possible. It makes sense financially and things like that. But from a selfish point of view, I would have loved it if it had been just a next gen only game.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm the same, especially after playing it on the S. I know it's not the most powerful next gen, but it still ran it pretty well considering everything that we've just discussed. So I really enjoyed the game. I really want it to start getting some praise for the actual game itself and the story involved. But at the moment, obviously, that's being overshadowed by the bugs and the problems that it's faced. But it is a really good game. And I look forward to you playing it, Sud. Because I completed it the other night. And obviously, no spoilers. But I just sat there and I was really disappointed with the choices I made.
Yeah, there's a lot of... It is very high replayability as far as, you know, getting different endings.
Oh, 100%. Straight away, actually, I just loaded up from another point and replayed the ending just to change it. Because I was just like, oh my God, that didn't sit well. But yeah, I think it's a game you'll get enjoyment out of, to be honest, Sud.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's a completely different type of game, really. But I'm a massive fan of The Witcher 3, so... I'm expecting that level of quality in this game, and I think I'm probably going to enjoy it. So.
Well, it's not unreasonable to expect that level of quality, but I mean, even in the gameplay, it's, you know, it's not there. Mm-hmm. Like the story, I think the writing for this game is just as good as in The Witcher, but there, you know, I know I don't want to get too far into it. I mean, this is review stuff, but you can tell that they put a lot of care into parts of this game and other things. I mean, just look at think about how what driving a car in this game feels like versus other much lower tiered games. It's like, how did you not just play another game with a car in it, and you can realize that your game is not good enough? Like, it does not make any sense that even driving doesn't feel good. So
I try driving in first person to try and stay immersive, and oh my god,
you can't. The cars handle terribly.
Yeah. That is one of the worst parts. Yeah, I agree completely.
I will say just quickly, I am someone that is, I am willing to forgive, you know, gameplay if the story is great. So
for sure, I'm in the same boat. But yeah. I mean, you know, we're talking about, you know, we were expecting like a 10 out of 10, 9 out of 10 style game. And when the gameplay, when the mechanics, it's like, well, is the gunplay crisp? No. Mm-hmm. Is the driving crisp? No. How about the mechanics and the side quests? Well, no, not there either. It's like, well, the writing's really good. It's like, okay, well, then I'm going to love this game, but our expectations were a little higher.
Yeah. And like you've touched on, probably rightfully so after The Witcher 3, but there we are. I'm sure we'll discuss more of it, and I'm sure Alex, you and Angry Joe and OJ will have a review coming out soon. So unless it's already out, my bad if I've missed it, but I don't think it is. Right. Anyway, let's move on to topic number two then. It's The Last of Us Part 2 wins Game of the Year at the Game Awards, beating the likes of Ghost of Tsushima, Doom Eternal, Final Fantasy VII Remake, Hades, and Animal Crossing. So, how do we feel about this? Now, obviously, well, I say obviously to Sud anyway, I haven't played it, because I didn't play The Last of Us Part 2. Once I seen some of the spoilers, it just put me off, to be honest, so I decided to watch it on YouTube. So I got, you know, I got to see what it was like, but you two have obviously played it, so you can throw more of an opinion to what you think about it winning Game of the Year, essentially.
There was never a question in my mind that this game was going to win Game of the Year. And that is from, you know, working with the industry insiders and knowing how the voting works and knowing, well, just being a cynic anyway. Like, there was never, I didn't think it should have won. But I always knew it was going to. And even, you know, even Angry Joe knew it was going to win. I mean, we had talked about it multiple times. So it was a good game that came out the year. Now, its story is clearly divisive, right? And so, you know, we've talked hours and hours about Last of Us 2. Last of Us 2 was the best optimized game we had played on the PlayStation 4. It looked incredible. It looks like a PlayStation 5 game that's playing on PlayStation 4. So it looks incredible. The gameplay is okay. It's a slight improvement from Last of Us 1, which was really good. Is it as crisp as, let's say, Doom Eternal or Ghost of Tsushima? No, but it's still pretty good. The story was ambitious, and I think that they weren't totally successful in their ambition, but they do get points, I guess, a little bit for being ambitious. But ultimately, people either loved or hated the story. And because of, I mean, the nature of the, like, the themes in there, it was always going to win. And I, you know, it's unfortunate, but that's the way that works in music. It's the way it works in movies. You see the list of, like, the best movies for the year, for the Oscars, for the Academy Awards, and you're like, that one's going to win. You know, I know it's going to win because it's the one that was specifically written to win an Oscar. And that's what this thing was. It was specific. It was kind of tailor-made to win Game of the Year.
Yeah, I agree. I wasn't totally shocked that it won. The thing is, when I enjoyed the game, I thought it was a good game. I didn't think it was anywhere near as good as the first one. I didn't think it was anywhere near as impactful as the first one. I think the story did definitely have problems, no doubt about that. I enjoyed the gameplay. I thought it was definitely an improvement from the first one. Like you said, you know, when you compare it to something like Doom Eternal, it's not a contest. But it was definitely an improvement on the first one. The game, like you said, looked phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal looking game. You know, the voice acting was great and stuff like that. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's just one of them things where I look at the other nominees and I think, well, okay, Doom Eternal, I really enjoyed that game. Is it ever going to really win Game of the Year? Probably not. Animal Crossing, maybe. I guess it was popular at the time, but I guess the popularity kind of has dwindled now a little bit. Hades, I actually haven't played, so I don't really have much of an opinion on that one. I heard it's really good. Final Fantasy VII Remake, yeah, really good game again, but I don't know, it's a remake, so I don't know, I think that was going to be always going to be tough for that one to win. So, I mean, personally, from personal point of view, my Game of the Year wouldn't have been any of these. My Game of the Year would have been Ori and the Will of the Wisps, which I thought was an absolutely phenomenal game. The Xbox, absolutely phenomenal. But and I guess Ghost of Tsushima really was the one where you go, that probably maybe could have had the best chance of beating The Last of Us. But I know Ghost of Tsushima wasn't as highly regarded by the critics, was it, as Last of Us 2? So.
No, I mean, the writing for Ghost of Tsushima was very safe. And, you know, it's safe and tropey and not necessarily in a good way. I mean, there's so many times in the game where something is so incredibly convenient that you roll your eyes a little bit. Now, you love it because the game is beautiful, the gameplay is amazing, and it's still characters that you like. It's not a poorly written game. It's just, you know, it's very safe. It's very, you know, almost average storytelling. And so that's not something that the people in the industry want to see more of. And so they, you know, that probably was number two on everyone's ballot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. And I think, to be fair, I mean, I've got to be honest, I thought the game was overrated, actually. I think it's a decent game, Ghost of Tsushima, but I don't think it's this game of the year, you know.
Is that an unpopular opinion?
Yeah, I think it is. I think
it's a very popular opinion, I think.
A lot of people love it, don't they? You know, you saw it win the popular vote, didn't it, on the Game Awards, the fan vote, which a lot of that, I think, was fans voting against Last of Us 2. But yeah, Ghost of Tsushima was definitely a very popular game with the fans, maybe not so much with the critics. But I thought it was a little bit overrated, personally. But so when you look at the contenders, I guess it isn't too much of a shot that Last of Us 2 won, really, because I definitely had problems with the story, but it does do some things that are really good, really, really, really good. There's no doubt about that.
I could talk about Last of Us 2. And, I mean, I have and will continue to talk about Last of Us 2 all day. I mean, the story elements for The Last of Us, so there's so much to admire there. And I do, and I know that, you know, people are going to be mad. They're like, how dare you? It's like, yes, they treated characters poorly. Yes, there was some character assassination, and there was some clear, overt, poor storytelling manipulation done where it's like, oh, Ellie kills dogs, Abby pets dogs, and you're supposed to not like this one, you have to like this one now. And so some of that wasn't done very well. But if you take 10 steps back from the story, you're like, wow, that's kind of cool, where we're talking about the difference of perspective. In this person's perspective, this person's the villain. In this person's perspective, this person's the villain. And there's like these concurrent stories, and they're kind of intermingled, and there's some cool stuff there. It's just, it was off. It was just barely off. And when you are, you know, when you're shooting for the stars and you're just barely off, you have a lot further to fall. And I think for some people, they fell. I'm one of them. I don't think the story was bad. I think the story is pretty good. But in a game where you play the game for the characters and the story, because I mean, honestly, The Last of Us 2 gameplay is, you're not playing for the gameplay. You could be playing for the visuals, I guess, but that's a narrative story driven game. And if the narrative and the story isn't up to par, then how high could that game be? And that's where I felt it. I don't think it's bad. I don't think it's amazing. I just think it's pretty good. But I always thought it was going to be game of the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I must admit, I mean, even though obviously I didn't play it, looking at the list of contenders and nominees, I thought that, yeah, that's probably going to win. I think most people did, like you've probably touched on, just looking. I obviously watched the story, so I mean, you can be as invested because it's very story driven, but I wasn't as invested because I didn't actually play the first one either. So did I? Because I didn't even have a PlayStation by then. So no. I missed out on that.
Oh, so I missed that one. That's a good one.
Yeah, probably something I should go back and play. But when I watched the story and obviously it switched to Abby and stuff, I was just like, doesn't affect me this. I'll just go with it. Whereas obviously if you're playing it and you're invested in the story from the beginning, how did that feel switching to Abby?
It was rough. I think, so again, there was something off, right? Because what they wanted to do is they want to set up Abby as the villain, as someone that you kind of hate. But I think they overstepped it a little bit. And so I think that they set themselves up to fail a little bit because they set her up as so much of a villain, then to try to transition her into this, oh, it's just a matter of perspective hero type character was too much. So she's so evil. She tortures a man to death, right? So much so that she is out of breath and has to take her jacket off because she's been doing it for so long that she's hot. Like, that is a hard thing to overcome by the petting of a dog. And even though she's treating other characters, you're like, okay, well, this is a situation where maybe you went a little too far with how you started here. It was just that, and that's what I feel about the game in total. They just subtle tweaks here and there, and you're talking about a game that even I feel is game of the year. So they started off as too much of a villain. They turned Ellie into too much of a villain. They went too overboard with some of those things. They were too, you know, it just lacks some of the subtlety that I wanted. And so one of the things that's so amazing about the first game is these kind of nonsense scenes where characters are talking. There are car rides in Last of Us 1 with Joel and Ellie, and they're talking about nothing. But it's so endearing, and it lets you know so much about the world and their characters. And it's so well written, and it's perfect. I mean, those are like my favorite scenes in movies, too, where they may not have a whole lot to do with, you know, how they're going to defeat the big bad guy. But it lets you know what's kind of going on, and it kind of like ties you closer to everything that's happening. Mm-hmm. And they tried that in this one. And I don't think they did well at all with it. There are conversations where there's characters walking on horses that I do not care about at all. The characters aren't like the banter isn't there. There's a couple scenes where we do get that when they go to like a museum or some, and that's actually one of the best parts of the whole game. I absolutely love that. But that part, that level of writing should have been present through all of the little scenes throughout. And so it just wasn't there for me.
Yeah, I was going to comment that the scene with the flashback with Ellie and Joel, where they go to is it the Science Museum or History Museum, whichever one it is, in the space pod. That's probably one of the best scenes in the game. I really, really, really like that scene. But yeah, I agree with you. I think there's no doubt about it. The way they did things just, I don't know, didn't sit right with a lot of people, didn't sit right with me in certain ways. I also think I thought it was a very unsatisfying ending as well. I thought the ending to the game, I don't know. I could see what they were trying to say, the whole message and stuff, but to me, it just didn't make much sense, personally.
Well, it was an ending they changed because that wasn't the original plan. So you kind of felt like it wasn't the original plan. It was something that was changed. So
she pretty much cross-country killing on her way to get to that point.
And then, it's...
loses energy in the process.
It was so unsatisfying, wasn't it? You know, you coming up to this, you know, this ending where you think, all right, everything's going to happen now, and then it's just kind of like a week sort of.
Do you know when you guys were playing it, did you feel like when you were getting to that moment, oh, I feel like she's going to change her mind and turn back from actually killing Abby? Or did you think, oh no, the game's set up, we're going all the way through with this, we're gonna murder Abby essentially?
At that point, I think the game for me had become so transparent as far as like their intentions that there was no doubt. Ultimately it was the dog scenes where it's like, oh wow, this is poor story writing, right? And so where I can writers and storytellers are there to manipulate you, and they're trying to manipulate your emotions, they're trying to make you immersed, but you have to be subtle about it, because the second that you realize that you're being manipulated by them, you fight it. Sometimes people fight it, some people get defensive about it. And once I saw that, it's like, wow, this is some ham-fisted, like middle school level writing manipulation. Mm-hmm. I started looking for it. And then you keep setting up into these situations where it's like, oh, of course this is going to happen. Of course she's going to go through everything. Of course she's going to come back and Dean is going to be gone. And of course Tommy's going to show up. And then for a character that who said, I don't want to do this, to come back and start yelling at her at the end of the game and just be kind of a jerk. Of course they did that. And so it was, I knew it was coming.
How about you, Sid?
I think, I don't know. I think, because there was, you know, as you're going through the game towards the end, you think, there's been some really unsatisfying moments in this game and stuff like that. And I wasn't sure. You have always got in the back of your mind, are they going to kind of mess this ending up? And I don't know. In my opinion, I think they did. I just don't think they got the ending right at all, personally.
Yeah. And it's not about it being what I didn't want. And so that's the criticism that I think is unfair, that is thrown at people who didn't like the game. Again, I'm not one of them. I would put myself in, I'm barely just in I liked the game category of people. But people saying, oh, you didn't like how this character was treated, so you hated it, or you don't like how it ended, so you hated it. And that's, I don't think that's fair at all, because there's books where I love them, but I don't, you know, you don't love the way they ended, but they ended the way that they felt like they should have. And this wasn't that. This wasn't something where it's like, I don't like the way they treated Joel. Yeah, that's true. It's just, I didn't, And I could have been fine with it if they handled those scenes better, where, you know, we as fans got time to grieve and we weren't just immediately moved on. They skipped over, you know, the funeral and like the grieving moments and talking with people. I mean, there's all these things that could have been done better. Hell, the horse in Ghost of Tsushima had a better send off than Joel in The Last of Us 2. And that's a shame. And it's, you know, it's kind of, I guess maybe they did it on purpose. Mm. And maybe they didn't, but I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, I always come back to, I mean, you know, Luke, I always come back to this game and say that sometimes the way we treat endings, I guess, is unfair to the rest of the game. Mass Effect 3, because I really loved yeah. Mass Effect 3. I really love Mass Effect 3, apart from the last hour of the game, which I guess is not, you know, that's a common statement, obviously. But, you know, a lot of people sort of say, oh, I hate Mass Effect 3. It's terrible. It's not a terrible game. Mass Effect 3 is a great game. It's just the ending was so, you know, so bad and so unsatisfying that
it left a sour taste.
It leaves a stain on the game, and you know, I can understand that. And a little bit different than The Last of Us 2, because it's not just about the end of the last, you know, Last of Us Part 2. There is other problems with the game, but I still liked The Last of Us Part 2. But like you say, you know, if you have a weak ending and an ending that's not satisfying, you're obviously not going to love the game, you know. So,
mm-hmm. I think Alex makes a great point as well. Not every ending has to be something like, oh, I wanted that.
No,
can have endings where you're like, I didn't actually want that outcome, but, you know, I can understand it. Kind of the same with me in Cyberpunk. When I finished the game, it's like, I didn't want that ending. I can understand it, but luckily for me, I had another route to go if I wanted to replay it. But it didn't leave me hating the game or anything like that.
No.
So it's very important. Yeah, so maybe moving on from Last of Us Part 2, what else did we see at the Video Game Awards that took our interest?
I mean, they won everything.
yeah.
There was a lot of, you know, we got some glimpses at some games coming out. Most of them were just short teasers. Like, so we have, you know, we have a video for Dragon Age, which, you know, we've been excited about for a long time. Well, I started off excited about, and the more we hear about the development for Dragon Age, I don't care about it at all. I'm not interested in lives, you know, Anthem with Dragons is what an EA executive described it as. And I don't care for that.
Don't want that.
No, yeah. Certainly not.
So we got glimpses for that. We know we're getting a Mass Effect, which could be exciting. It could not. I mean, it's wildly different people involved. Different people who own the company and are going to be pulling strings. So
I've got to say just on the Mass Effect thing. I mean, it's one of them things where when you see the trailer, it's like, it really got me excited. And it's like, I know it shouldn't, because it's like, okay, this is still CGI. We know the game's probably years away. But because if you're a massive fan of the franchise, like I know I am, and I know you are, it still gets you excited, doesn't it, when you see, you know, you see Liara at the end. It's like, yes, Mass Effect. But I guess we should be careful, because we just don't know what sort of state, you know, this game's going to come in, do we really? Who knows? Like,
completely
say,
different company now as well.
BioWare's completely different from the BioWare of 2000, you know, the mid 2000s to late 2000s. So, it's a tricky one. I am still excited because it's Mass Effect, and it looks like it's going the direction I'd like it to go in, which is a sequel. And it kind of looks like it's going to tie in Andromeda a little bit, which I'm kind of happy about, because we didn't actually mind Andromeda too much, did we, Luke? Which is
an unpopular opinion.
That's an unpopular opinion.
Yeah.
But, you know, I felt like Mass Effect Andromeda was given a little bit of an unfair shake. I feel like,
well,
you know,
we were lucky because we didn't get many bugs, so that didn't take us out.
No, we didn't, and we didn't get any of those.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so when we played through it, we said that basically it's an all right game. Obviously, it was getting a lot of hate at the time. And like I said, luckily we didn't get bugs, so yeah, that's a positive. But if it had a different title and there was no bugs, I think people would have been okay with it. But obviously, when you're trying to live up to the Mass Effect name and coming off the back of that trilogy and a poor ending, then that all goes against you. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's human nature to be excited about those types of franchises, but you have to understand that these companies absolutely take advantage of it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that game wouldn't have been made if Mass Effect hadn't been stamped on the title. And they knew that they could get away with doing something with either less effort or less writers, or they absolutely do that. I imagine that's what EA is doing with Dragon Age. They're like, look, it's a Dragon Age game. It's going to make its money back day one. It doesn't matter. Slap live service on it. People complain and we will still make money. People complain about FIFA every single day, and FIFA still outsold Cyberpunk.
Sells. Yeah, I mean, FIFA's one of them. It's just no matter how bad it gets, it will sell, especially in Europe, because
Yeah, you're talking to two Brits here.
Yeah, I mean, I know it. We talk about the UK sales all the time because the UK actually keeps, you know, detailed records, and you know, it's never surprising. It pisses Joe off every time, but it's like, yes, FIFA outsold Cyberpunk, and so great. That's the world that you live in.
Yeah, and you're talking to two people who probably complained about FIFA for the last 8 years.
We buy FIFA every year.
I actually don't mind this year's. It's okay. But still, that's not the point. We complain and buy, which, you know, is not the thing to do. But
no.
It's too hard sometimes. We're from the UK and everyone's a football fan and all your mates buy the game and you think, well, you know, I want to give it a chance. Everyone does that.
And, you know, I play a lot of League of Legends. Now, I don't buy skins. I don't do the loot boxes. I don't do anything. But, like, I take part in a game that's owned by, you know, Riot and Tencent. And, they're evil. They're, you know, money-grubbing, horrible. And Joe, sometimes he enjoys Call of Duty and he'll buy like a new gun skin or something because he's, you know, it's a free to play game. And so it's not a bad thing to support these companies to a point. Mm-hmm. So people shouldn't feel bad about it. But by getting back to Mass Effect, it's like, it's okay to be excited about these games and they know that we are excited about these games. I just worry that, you know, every single time these things come out, you know, you feel like, you know, Charlie Brown running up to kick the football. It's like, man, I need to stop getting excited for these things because these companies aren't making what we want, and they know about it now. And not every company's like that, because you look at Sucker Punch, and you know, to go back to what we were talking about before, it's a shame that Sucker Punch didn't win more at the Game Awards, because it's a smaller company that made this incredible game. Even if you don't think it is as good as the hype was, like, that this is a game with no microtransactions. It's a game that's not a live service, that they were offering free DLC. They had a new game plus after the fact, and it's a complete experience for $30. They didn't do anything scummy with it. And I mean, that's the kind of company that I want to reward. It's like, man, you should throw a microtransaction in there so I can throw more money at you, because I want you to continue doing these things that you're doing. But
yeah, that's incredibly rare. Absolutely. These days, isn't it?
It's very rare. And then and then back to the Game Awards, we see a bunch of games that are just trying to capitalize on other things, like how many, you know, zombie reskins and, you know, so Ark 2. I don't know. Maybe you guys are excited about Ark 2, but I mean,
I've got to say though, I did kind of like the trailer just from the sort of, I don't know, the whole Vin Diesel thing.
I won't be playing that.
No, I mean, to be fair, I'm not really a fan of the first arc, to be honest with you, but it was a, you know, cool enough trailer, I guess. It was a little bit cheesy, but
anything with Vin Diesel.
Very cheesy. It was very, very
cheesy.
It
was the whole girl with her sort of, the little girl, yeah. She... but, you know, yeah, you're right. There was a lot of very similar games, wasn't there? I mean, you look at like Back 4 Blood, and then, although I'm a big fan of Left 4 Dead, so that's one. I love
Left 4 Dead. I love it.
I'm interested to see how that one. I mean, we don't have to wait that long either. It's next summer, isn't it? June 22nd. So
yeah,
I'm looking forward to that one.
Left 4 Dead 1 is one of my favorite zombie experiences. Like, we play LAN partied and we played that nonstop, and Left 4 Dead 2 came out. I didn't like it as much, but we still played it all the time. So
yeah,
I'm not excited for this one because, you know, we've done it so many times before, and it actually looks exactly like Left 4 Dead 2. And
yeah,
I was like, when did Left 4 Dead 2 come out? Like, how many years ago? But okay, I'm still gonna play it, and it's a smaller company, so I definitely want to support them.
I mean, we had also I think one of the most interesting games for me was the Callisto Protocol
project. But that's so many years out.
Yeah, it's a long. Yeah,
that's like a teaser for a teaser. So we're not even there yet. But
just interesting, because I mean, I'm a big fan of Dead Space. I really like the first two Dead Space games. Third one was not good, but the first two were great. It's obviously the same guy. So I think that looks interesting. I mean, he claimed it was going to be what, the scariest game ever or something. I mean,
it's a bold claim.
What the marketing person told him to do.
Yeah, yeah. we'll see how that goes. But I'm looking forward to that.
So is it a continuation of Dead Space?
No, it's a standalone story.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of like a spiritual. I don't know. I guess spiritual successor, they'd say, wouldn't they? But
right.
I'm still going to play it in the dark.
Yeah,
it's going to be amazing.
It'd be fun.
I hope it's amazing. It's there. I go getting excited about these people who, and I'm just gonna get burned again.
You'll have to let everyone know if it is the scariest game you've ever played.
I'm trying to think of like what the scary, like people ask me all the time, and I think that the scariest games were either, it had to been Silent Hill or Fatal Frame. And it's just because we were playing like in the dark and we're trying to act tough because, you know, we were much younger kids. And but it was just like sitting there like shaking with the control in my hand. It's like, no, I don't want to do this.
Well, I actually, back in the day when I was younger, I rented Silent Hill, and I had to take it back that night, and I told my my parents, oh yeah, it's broke, you know, I want to change it, I want to rent something else. It was because I was scared of the game.
It was terrifying.
Yeah, I was just like, it's an out.
Whenever I think of scary games, I always come back to Alien Isolation. That game was, if you play that on the hardest difficulty and play it in the dark, it's a horrible game.
Great, good atmosphere.
Yeah, oh, it's a fantastic game. It's a really good game. It's just, it's a really scary game. does make you part of the skin, that one.
So if Calypso can do that, I'm in.
Yeah,
that sounds
absolutely
great.
What about for scary games? Can't remember which one it is. The VR. Is it Resident Evil VR? I heard a load of people. Yeah, was it that one? I heard a load of people talking about one of the games that's in VR that's like really scary. Because obviously,
everyone who's into VR says that every VR thing is the greatest thing. I mean, you talk about like the video game companies being awful about overhyping. VR people are the worst. And I like some VR games. There's been some incredible ones, but man, they're like, this is the greatest first-person shooter ever. It's like, this is like below average PC shooter that you have a VR headset on. And I'm glad that you get to use your $3,000 set, but this is nothing special, and you need to have higher standards. But they're pushing the technology, and maybe we'll get better games from it. Like, we got Half-Life Alyx this year, which is great. Didn't Half-Life Alyx win at the Game Awards, right?
I think it won an award. It did win an award. I can't remember which award it won, actually.
Yeah, so that was a great experience. So like, yeah, make more games like that. That sounds great.
Yeah, I watched your guys' review on that. Actually, it did look a pretty good game. I've got VL, and I must admit, yeah, it's something that, I don't know, it's just a bit of a fad at the moment for me. Well, especially even like a couple of years ago when I, you know, first got it, it was just one of those that when your friends come around, you get it out. It's like, oh mate, have you tried this? Yeah, all right, let's play it for 20 minutes. All right, let's put it away, and then you think, oh, the wires, waste of time.
I had to screw these things in or take these. Yeah, it's just, it's, you know, it could be the wave of the future, and then that is amazing. But the issue is it's not there yet, and I'm tired of people yelling at me that it's there. And they're like, it's there. It's like, well, I've got the game. It's like, you haven't played on the headset. It's like, Joe has the Index. He has all the Oculuses. He has the HTC one. It's like, I played on all of these things, and most of the games aren't there yet.
Yeah.
Some of them are, but.
Maybe in the future. Maybe in the future, but that's probably a good place to leave it. So thanks once again, Alyx, for joining us on the podcast. We really appreciate it. Another good chat.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it was good fun.
Thank you very much.
And well, I usually give a plug to the guest, but everyone should probably, most people know in gaming on YouTube, the Angry Joe Show. So definitely go and check it out if you haven't, but I'm sure you probably have by now. And if you are watching us on YouTube, please like, subscribe, and comment below with your thoughts on the topics covered today, as that'll help our channel to grow. And then also, if you are listening to us on Twitch or even Facebook, like the page and give us a follow on Twitch as well. And then also join our Discord, because we have set up a new Discord, and all the links will be in the descriptions below. For that, you can also follow the podcast on social media, on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at CheckReachPod. And you can also follow me and Sud on social media. Where can people find you, mate?
Yeah, so it's just Twitter for me. It's at David10Spud.
Lovely stuff. And Twitter and Instagram for me, at Leld, L-E-L-3-D's, at 9M for Instagram. Alyx, I don't believe you're on social media, are you?
Nope. I stay away from that stuff. Are you kidding?
Good decision. I
say things about video games that people don't like. So.
Yeah. You're best off, I think.
Yeah, you're best off. I mean, we're tiny, and we get some hate for some of our comments, so I couldn't even imagine how it would be for you.
You can always catch us at YouTube on Angry Joe Show, Twitch. OJ and I do streams where, you know, more smaller streams without Joe. So if you want to ask me stuff or harass me there, you can catch us on Twitch.
Yeah, and they are great streams, so definitely check them out.
Yeah, I've watched them as well. They're good. Really good.
But yeah, perfect. We'll be back anyway next week to discuss some more gaming news just in time for Christmas. And this will be dropping later today. I don't know why I've mentioned that, because you're already watching it. So anyway, have a good week, guys. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.